Oh yes, oh yes. August 25th, 2013. Positive vibrations indeed to one and all. The big Star of David in the sky, the big cross in the sky. We're just, this is the crossing, or whatever it is, or whatever significance it might be. Oh, lovely. It's wonderful to have you all here. Thank you everybody for joining in the last hour. If anybody would like to make a comment or ask a question or join me, this period of time is absolutely open. And if nobody calls me in, I'll talk about something that I'm interested in. So, where are we? We've been, I've been playing music all weekend, and I'm absolutely exhausted, but it's been great fun, all in a good cause, all like revolutionary tyranny kind of thing. We did a concert in aid of publicizing the idea that a piece of common ground, now actually this is probably kind of an alien concept in most parts of the world, but in Scotland there's still land that is donated to the common good, and nobody's supposed to be able to do anything about it. Nobody's supposed to like own it, but there's people that are responsible for it, but nobody can like sell it off. It's for the common. This land is all over, but developers, capitalists, what do they call them? Venture capitalists. They're out to squeeze and extract every ounce of whatever from each grain of land, and these people are turning our world from green to grey, and that has to stop. It's got to stop somewhere. Interesting that 2,000 years ago this very same town was involved in the last battle in Britain before the complete annihilation of the indigenous peoples by the Roman Empire, or at least the complete it was a bloodbath. The bloodbath appears to have occurred exactly where I live, in the valley where I live here, in the north of Scotland. That might be why there's so many ghosts here, all sorts of things. It's a odd place, but it's still a little piece of heaven, I suppose in heaven there's ghosts walking around. You know, everybody's a ghost in heaven, aren't they? Isn't that what it's supposed to be about? Like, in heaven, everybody's a ghost. So what's the problem if there's loads of ghosts? But it's beautiful here. Everybody who comes here says it's beautiful. I was in the garden this afternoon. My girlfriend and I were looking at the bush, and I'm not joking, there must have been more than 30 beautiful peacock butterflies, quite large ones for Britain, the odd cabbage white, bumblebees and honeybees, and just buzzing around this lovely buddleia bush that I've got in the garden. And it was just a delightful moment to just be with this the vibration of a butterfly. I think the difference between butterflies and moths kind of are like, they're really struggling against the world, they're really having a hard time, they're really stupid, they fly into lights, and they don't know very much, and they're just annoying. Whereas a butterfly, what's the difference between a moth and a butterfly? A butterfly is, hello. Hello, I'm a butterfly. Good afternoon. Look at this. Look, and everybody goes, oh, look at that. It's a butterfly. Look at the beautiful butterfly. But the minute a moth comes on the scene, it's like, oh, Jesus, get it out of my hair. Oh, no, go away. Get away. Oh, no, moth everywhere. Different vibration. Sorry, I'm vibrating myself. I was playing music on a flatbed lorry truck yesterday, as used as a stage. And one of the things that I discovered, I'm very sensitive to vibrations. So being on a stage where there's drums and you're boing, 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 and then there's the bass was, and there's we're not on a proper stage, which is like connected with the ground, so this whole thing is vibrating. It's undamped. And so I often suffer from that. I need to wear a special pair of shoes that I don't feel the vibrations through. Maybe I need to investigate that. Special shoe, anti-vibration shoes. I wonder if you can get them on eBay. Anyway, I was playing my electric guitar yesterday afternoon, having a great time, and breaking strings. I have three broken strings. It's a real battle. You've no idea. So there's so many things that when you're on a stage that is completely on the edge, and you see them in front of you, and they're presented as a very solid thing, but actually it all just comes together, just about, and just about holds together, and can be very edgy. Even though, you know, health and safety aside, there are health and safety issues that are taken care of, but, you know, just things go wrong all the time, and if somebody can't hear something, and they'll lose their timing, and it just becomes a complete mashy mess, all bouncing around on the bottom of a flatbed lorry. Anyway, lessons in resonance and in being able to run with the vibration. And I think this is one of the things that human beings are really good at, is being able to tune into a vibration. At least some people are, and I think that's our future, because we are, we have been brought up in a place of low vibration, as it says, you know, we're always talking, you know, it's a low vibration, it's negative, it drags you down, it holds you back, and we can speak of it also possibly like it's like a magnet. It's like magnetism. It holds you down. It locks you in. And these are the things that we have schools, mystery schools, that are an attempt to help us bring our minds out of that magnetic soup and into what is known as the mental plane, the higher mental plane. We have the lower mental plane and the higher mental plane. And this is where we're going as humanity. We go from the lower mental plane, which is represented by the fifth ray of concrete knowledge. And it is to raise up to the higher mental plane, which is on the third ray of active intelligence. So we go from knowledge to intelligence, and that's an abstraction of a level. So it's, for instance, like statistics is one level of an abstraction, you know, averages and things like that. So you take a whole bunch of numbers and you create one number that represents the trend in them. That's an abstraction. So by raising up an abstraction, that's using the third ray mind to bring you into the third ray mind. Does that make sense? It's almost like you trick your mind. You have to trick the monkey. The fifth ray mind is the monkey mind. It's very obsessed with details. Monkey mind is one of Cliff High's terminologies, which is basically these machines that predict human behavior, predict the human behavior on the monkey mind model. And monkey mind is what the opposite of higher mind is. Higher mind is the flashes of genius, which happen to us all. Everybody gets the genius, because what genie is the jinn. The jinn inside your engine. The engine inside of you. You are the genie. The you within you, your soul, your higher self, is the genie. And during that last hour's meditation, I'm going to publish it. I'm going to clip it out and publish it, because I think it's very valuable. And you can listen to it every day and use it. It's quite good. It encapsulated everything, and I've never done it before. I just kind of made it up as I went along. But anyway, so the use of the of meditations like that, and bringing yourself out of the you know, people, they talk about it all the time, the thinking mind, as if it's a bad thing. It's not that it's a bad thing, it's just that it's a thing, and it needs to be in its place, because it's a thing amongst other things. We got lots of things inside us, and the mind tends to be, it tends to take its more than its fair share of attention, you know. And so when we get that perspective of the heart, of being truthful, and the heart can be truthful if it's pushed, it can be harsh, but you can be truthful, you can get that from the heart. Compassionate. Doesn't always mean very nice. What is good? What is good for someone? Is it good for their soul, or is it good for their personality? For instance, to let go of a toxic friend, to let go of somebody you know has betrayed you, but that you think that you like a lot or love, that can often seem like a very harsh thing to have to do. But when you realize that it's actually poisoning you and giving you a disease or a weakness, a vulnerability in a place, so that you trip over and you break your knee or stand on a nail or something, or, you know, little accidents happen, little weaknesses develop in those spots, and those spots are often caused by the astrology of the people that you've got problems with. That's weird. I know it's weird, but that's the way it happens. Because it's all vibration. We're all about vibration. We're all about energy. And energy comes in vibrations or oscillations or frequency. And frequencies come in pitch and notes and rays. And so that's why everything is rays. And rays are everything and all of that stuff. It's very neat, the way of looking at it. It's like looking at the whole tree from the perspective of the trunk rather than the leaf. That's the difference between esoteric and exoteric. Esoteric is looking from the trunk outwards. Exoteric is looking at the leaf inwards. Very different perspective, but it's both parts of the one. Both true. Both the parts of the black and the white, the yin and the yang, parts of duality, all parts of the one. So, looking at the platform in space, I saw, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands. How many did you see? I'd actually like to know, if anyone's in the chat room or can go to the to the Facebook page, and let me know if anybody was able to see, and if they had any experiences or any messages or any feelings that they had when they are on that platform. I'd be very interested to know. Anybody could let me know. Be very interested. Actually, I've run out of tea. I didn't have enough time to make myself a few cups because I'm in the saddle. So I might actually just put on a piece of music so that I can just go and make myself a cup of tea. You can go and make yourselves a cup of tea, and I'll be back in a few minutes with some more inspiration. So let's have some Norman Greenbaum. What a name. My doctor was called Dr. Greenbaum, and he lived in Bethnal Green in London. And I always remember Dr. Greenbaum. And it turns out that Peter Green from Fleetwood Mac also grew up in Bethnal Green, and he was called Greenbaum. So I often wonder whether Peter Green was my doctor's son. Anyway, this is Norman Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky. Free spirit. And... well, I like to regard myself as a free spirit, much to the chagrin of those who care for me and are near to me. Anyway, but that's another matter. We are on Ever Beyond. Today is the... what the heck is today? It's the 25th, that's right. So now, what are we? We're in Virgo. We're definitely in Virgo. I would have had a jam on Friday, but maybe I'll have the one next Friday. Who knows? We'll see what happens, and we'll see also what this Grand Cross Star of David formation actually means when it works out into our physical realm. What does it mean? What happens as a result of people en masse? I mean, just consider that the experience that you had is something that was shared by hundreds of millions of people. Nice, cool idea. Maybe they weren't even thinking about it at the time, but it just had a little flash. Oh, we're all connected. We're all connected. That, like, there's threads that connect us to our souls and our higher selves, and our higher selves are connected to all the other higher selves. They're like droplets in a cloud. Each individual, everybody knowing, having their own vibration, their own particular form and size, but a cloud, a swarm, a flock, collective. Is that the future? And if we want to manifest on the earth, zip, down the tube. Many people talk about a tunnel. But what if the tunnel was just a view of the inside of a tube? Consider that the light at the end of the tunnel, or the blue tunnel of light that people talk about when they have their near-death experiences, is in fact the inside of a thread as you spiral up through the higher dimensions to the true self that you really are, as it retracts from your physical body after the physical body has been laid down. In the process, that us humans, on the exoteric level, looking from the leaf inwards, we see it as death. As far as the tree is concerned, does the tree can give a damn about a leaf? No, it just allows it to go through its cycle, to be green, to become golden, to go brown, to fall off, to grow again, to be green again. It's all the circle of life. all these cycles. Anyway, cycles of vibrations. Vibrations, that's where we're at. I'm going to be calling now. Probably is going to be a regular guest on Ever Beyond and various things, and we've been conversing in the use of scalar instruments, and so I'd like to just call him up now and bring him in. Hello, Jay. How are you doing? You're live on the air.
I had to shut off Wolf Spirit so we didn't get a reverb on it.
That's right. That's good. Thank you.
I did a little more study on the odic force, and I found that the actual scalar waves that they're using are actually used. The Cadesius actually produced the odic force and not the orgon force. The electrical force, or known as what would you call it, orgon, is basically has more to do with physical substance. Think of magnetic as relating to time, and electricity or electrical as relating to space. So the experiments that Wright had introduced with orgon energy was to produce organisms from it by heating up quartz sand and other things, and he found he could create life, which would be basically what you do with this electrical type of orgon energy. You can use it as what will be used in the future, basically to change energy, so to speak, into matter. And now the odic force, I went and I did some more research on it to an earlier device that I built. Remember I told you I built one scalar device that ran 200 megahertz, and I didn't realize at the time I didn't use a caduceus in that one. I used a different coil formation, but I found that it produced what you would consider a very joyful experience for customers at a local Denny's. We used to experiment with things when we're bored on during the graveyard shift, and there weren't too many people around, and just to see the effects of different things on human beings. We would take pheromones, and I would get all the servers to wear the pheromones. I had two types. I had ones, the female pheromone, so the females could wear it to attract males, and the male pheromones, and we would experiment, and where they could notice the reaction, you know, we could watch the physical reaction when these people would go under it without telling them or anything. Well, I figured that was a more unusual scientific type study, see if the stuff that they toot on different websites and stuff, if it actually worked. We actually did the test, and it does.
So these are like pig pheromones, like farmers buy these sprays, don't they? They spray them on the boar and the sow to the corresponding ones to make them actually more interested in, like, oh God, I really don't want to do this. She's pig ugly, man.
Well, these pheromones, the body, we emit testosterone and other hormones to the surface of our skin. And as these things decay, they produce compounds known as pheromones. And that's all it is. It the biological function automatically produces them, but they can either synthesize them, or what, like the Romans used to do, they used to collect the sweat off of gladiators that were practicing and stuff like that, and condense it and add it to perfumes and stuff to have the same effect. Because here you have these physical men that have a lot of muscle mass and testosterone in their system, and as they sweat, they release this testosterone out, and they would collect the sweat and evaporate it and add it to scents and unguents, and it makes a pretty good love potion to wear if you're trying to attract a female of your choice.
Love potion number 9.
Except love potion number 9 worked on the throat, and it was a vocal pattern, at least in the movie.
Say that again. Love potion number 9 was actually a frequency variation or something?
What it did, it caused a drawing of the, in the movie, the drawing of a, of the vocal cords. It caused the change in the pitch in the vocal cords that excited the opposite sex.
This is in a movie. What movie is this in?
Love Potion Number 9.
Oh, the film. All right, okay.
right.
I thought it was only a song.
Well, no, they actually made a movie of it.
All right, talking of speaking up, I hope Jake and 7 can hear you now. I had to turn you up a bit because you were a bit quiet, but it's my stuff. Anyway, so odic forces and scalar forces, these are the things that we've been talking about in the last couple of shows, which is, so have we had our definitions upside down, or is it...
Yes, basically, I misinterpreted the... Ordon with the other, but that's because the other researchers before me had. They said the magnetic field collapses and leaving only electrical field, but I find it's just the opposite. What happens is you get a magnetic compression, much like I told you about putting two north poles together. Causes that etheric energy to move, and it tries to repel the poles apart. Well, just imagine doing that where you're rotating the magnets or spinning them on their edge so they go north, south simultaneously, where the north fields always point towards the north, and the south fields, when they spin around, points towards the south. And it would produce an alternating wave, standing wave, or scalar wave of basically that type of energy. Now, that's what happens when you use a caduceus coil. The coil is wound in such a way that it automatically puts north field to north, south field to south as the current goes through it.
So it's cancelling out the electrical or the magnetic component now?
Well, it's using the electrical component to make the magnetic component. So technically there is no electrical component, their type of scalar wave that they were using. That's the odic wave that they've been actually using, the odic wave, and not the Ordon type, which would be the electrical wave.
Right. So because that makes sense, because Ordon is produced by crystals, and crystals produce electricity without magnetism, don't they?
Well, when he was making, he's using quartz sand, and he'd heat it, and then you drop it into water. that it would create microorganisms in the water in the form of a scum.
Yeah, and this is again something we were talking about David Wilcock in the last show, that David Wilcock has talked about is this experiment in particular that, you know, you sterilize, you heat quartz up. I mean, when you say you heat quartz up, you really heat it up. You heat it up to like the temperatures that it's glowing almost blue. You know, it's like really, really hot, more than white hot. And then you just drop it into water. And as you say, wow, where does this stuff come from?
Right. And this is sterilized water they're using.
That's right. And in a sterile environment, and still, little life forms appear, and they're like they're micro-sized, but they're still what are they like all sorts of things. They look like diatoms, little structures, little crystallines.
Another thing that relates to quartz is that one of Kerry Cassidy's persons that are interviewers or white hats or whatever you want to call it, there's a project that where they were using quartz to produce mini wormholes that actually brought in templates that created life. They were producing life in sterilized solutions, and they stopped it when they started producing life in a beet brought nutrient that looked like nerve cells.
And then, what did they do with it? They flushed it down the toilet.
Most likely.
They flushed it down the toilet. Like that's going to get rid of it.
Well, it'll just cause it to grow somewhere else.
I'm yeah, sure. Yeah. And they call it the black oil, or the living water, or the living liquid. Have you heard about this?
I only learned certain portions about the experiments that were done and how they were done in it. They electrified. I think they electrified the crystals, and they use sound on the crystals to create these mini black holes, which could be viewed under a microscope. But when they were doing this kind of stuff, it caused all kinds of weird things to scientific instruments and stuff, so they sort of made them stop experimenting in that realm anyway.
Yeah, well, this is interesting because that's all connected with the plasma arc, which is a little the arc, the spark, right? The spark is the arc. The Ark of the Covenant is the same arc as the Ark of the Welder. And when they were making huge ships in this before the Second World War, they discovered that that's exactly what was happening, that they were using plasma arcs and welding huge sheets of metal together, and that they would create micro black holes, and they would lose their tools, and they were trying, you know, they didn't know who they were blaming. They were blaming everybody else, each other, for these tools disappearing, and they're actually being sucked into little black holes.
David Wilcox talks about it in his researches. This is what brought on the Philadelphia experiment, was this thing that what they are, they were a special type of welders. They produced an alternating ultrasonic wave with a DC to start the initiation of the arc, and they used high DC electrical current, and that's what created these wormholes. And wormholes were pretty fairly good size, and when they went off like that, the people around also went temporarily blind
why the effect was happening. So it was causing a opening of a hole, probably in us moving from regular space time into time space, which would be probably from, you know, third dimension to fifth dimensional.
You see, I have a feeling that that's exactly what goes on inside the middle of the pyramid. And inside the sarcophagus is a series of crystal oscillators and generators and capacitors that create a, probably, like you say, a high-frequency arc that is sustainable.
Well, it produces this. It produces a static field in there, and then they, through their sound tones and stuff, they're using it, and it creates a resonance that causes the body to change. Traditionally, the body would become crystalline, or more crystalline than carbon, and that's how the adepts did use it as basically an ascension chamber.
That's what an ascension chamber is. It takes your carbon and turns it into silicon because it adds a layer of... Now, let's just nip back to chemistry for a while and then from thence to geometry because this is something we've spoken about with William Stillings before on this show, is the shells of a atom... contain certain amounts of energy, you know, energy in terms of the electrons and the cloud of electrons around the atom is the result of its charge and also is the balance between the protons on the inside and the electrons on the outside. Again, more yins and yangs, more magnets, more repulsion and attraction at the same time, isn't there?
Yeah, they have the same carbon, silicon, tin, and lead all have the same outer electrons, the four electrons. So that's why they're in the same portion of the periodic table, and by changing the frequency, what happens is you can change one into another. They're fairly simple because they're just octaves of each other, so to speak. There's a certain resonance.
Mm. But if you look at the periodic table, these things are basically in a line. So, for instance, in the same way that xenon and neon and argon and all those are in a line, a vertical line, carbon and silicon and tin and lead, as you say, are all in the same line. So that's what you're saying, is it's just adding another layer of energy to it. And so if that is what ascension means for us, that we add another layer of energy, that we become glowing with a golden grid, and that we have silicon instead of carbon, a silicon based life form, Captain. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have those little silk in my fat cells. I have a lot of it. It feels like sand right now. My fat cells are changing where it feels like if you took a silken gel, much like they used to use for the old breast implants and stuff like that. It feels sort of like that, but except that it's gritty, like sand, like a very fine, sand in there, and it feels like a gel. And I think everybody is starting to go through that process of where their bodies are starting to change from one form to another. And it just, you know, it's a gradual process unless you use an ascension chamber, and I imagine, the ascension chamber only works to a certain extent. It may change you over that period of the night. Maybe it's 40%. A 40% change, and the rest will become more gradual. And, you know, they don't just leave the planet all at once, so to speak. They just sort of gradually shift.
So, how do you see the the result of ascension? How do you see that? What kind of human being are we talking about, Jay?
Oh, it's not just human beings; it's everything here. The way this ascension is working, so it's all life forms. Because the planet is ascending.
Even Homer Simpson.
Yeah. Homer Simpson and his donuts. I'd like to see what an ascended donut looks like.
Oh, well, actually, we ought to hold that thought. We're coming up to the top of the hour. Let's take a break just now. Big shout out to everybody. Yes, we know who you are. Let's put on I like this one. Let's have Peter Gabriel. Did we play that before? Doesn't matter, we're going to have it again. Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush, because I think right now a lot of people are really, really tired and have almost had enough. You know, a lot of people are just about ready to give up. So keep the faith. We're all going to be free someday soon. Here's Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush. Welcome back to Ever Beyond. I'm talking just now to Jay Larson, and we're talking about scalar waves, odic waves, standing waves, reality, joy. Seems to be something to do with physics, scalar waves. Why? How? Jay, please explain to myself and to those of us who are paying attention, how do scalar waves relate to joy? I just don't get it.
Okay, the 200 megahertz, that is approximately 59 inches. Now, if you take that's the wavelength. Now, 59 inches on a fairly tall person, around 6 foot, would probably come somewhere in your between the throat and your heart chakra. So, by in wavelength. So, by stimulating that, the resonance into your resonant field, it would have a tendency mostly to affect your heart area, and a state of self-love always produces a state of joy. So when you open the heart chakra in the maximum way, people are naturally giving and loving and joyous. Effect from the ground, you take your feet from the ground, you can measure up, and you're a perfect wave for yourself to your heart chakra. You could actually measure it and set the frequency. That frequency would be your personalized wave, so to speak. But how I got it, I experimented with it when back on KeelyNet, I was reading about scalar waves and stuff, and I decided that a portion of me told me that anything over 100 megahertz can actually induce healing in the body. So that's why I picked it up, and since I had a 50 megahertz walkie-talkie where I could double the wave and double the wave again and amplify it to produce a walkie-talkie that would produce a 200 megahertz signal. Then what I did is put it into a scalar wave, and I found that it had a very specific effect. It made people happy and joyous and giving and everything else, and the servers did pretty good while using it on the customers. Like, you know, it's one of the projects I worked on that I took to work with me, so to speak. But basically what I feel it is just the wavelength going up the body. Now, brainwave frequencies, we can measure them. You can take and measure the portion of your brain back to front of your head, so to speak, and you can come up with a wavelength, say 13, 14 inches. Now, 13 or 14 inches would equate to waves somewhere in the microwave, low microwave, almost Wi-Fi area of the spectrum, and you can actually make fields that can induce things to happen that way. What the government's done is they've taken microwaves like that and they've put audio sound or in them, and they would microwave these people, and the people would hear voices and stuff. But basically, it all works off the same resonance. Your body is a resonator, and depending on what frequency you use, depends on what organ or part of the body you're utilizing it on. And they were using electromagnetic radiation instead of using scalar radiation for it, though. It's a lot more effective using, and safer using, a light scalar field than it would be to use something that would ionize the body and cause it harm.
Yeah. So there's a very interesting area of the electromagnetic spectrum, actually. This area of the low microwaves, because they're not things that can they are these those same waves that will cook you? I thought.
Oh
that,
yeah.
Yeah. What's used in an oven? You know, microwave oven. What are the sort of frequency bands used there?
Usually about 50 centimeters. But you could cook with, if you have a strong Wi-Fi signal of 500 watts, you could cook yourself with it too. In fact, the old radar, a lot of government people used to do just to have fun at radar installations, to use radar antennas and aim them at rabbits and stuff, and they could kill rabbits with the feed off that radar.
Yeah, we've heard about other birds and wildlife, you know, being falling out of the sky. So I wonder, would these, you know, you see these, there's like flocks of birds that just drop out of the sky. When they could that be the result of being microwave cooked, or something like that? Or do you have other ideas about how that happens?
It could be almost anything. They could even hit craft that are camouflage, you might say. Where you don't see the craft.
Oh, I see. Because that's true. A cloaked ship. What if you hit a cloaked ship?
Mm-hmm.
And these birds are supposed to have been subjected to blunt trauma.
Right.
Which does sound like the windscreen of a big ship, you know, kind of thing.
Well, they wouldn't actually hit the ship.
Yeah. They'd hit the force field, yeah.
They could hit the force field of the ship, but if they got close enough to the ship, about being in directly into the field, they still could become disorientated because it would have, first of all, it would have a tendency to cause a very large static charge all around. And, you know, birds have a piece of iron in their beak, beak brain area that they use for basically guidance for north, south, and everything else. And I could throw that off as well.
Yes, their internal compass.
Right.
And, you know, apparently we have magnetite in our bodies as well. That like... kind of
in
the same areas, and in the, I think just like in the area just at on the bridge of the
pituitary gland.
Right, that's right at the top. Good.
In the frontal lobe area.
Yeah. So it's interesting that those are the same areas that we're talking about chakras as well. So there's many, you know, I think this, obviously I do, because this is what my show is all about, is the ancient teachings basically don't need much adding to or subtracting from, but translating really to modernize the language. But everybody recognizes it anyway. And it's like we already know this. And... it's just like we have now a chance to remember it, and it makes sense. The other thing, because this is a conversation I was having with a friend a couple of days ago, is about the nothing. It's, ascension is not about feeling superior to anybody. It's just that everything just makes sense. You understand how things fit in with everything else.
Well, you feel for yourself.
Yes.
Not exactly. What you're expecting to be.
Yes.
That's what we're doing. We're deprogramming ourselves to become ourselves instead of becoming the expectations of others.
Lovely. Lovely. And scalar devices help us remain ourselves in spite of other forces or energies and fields that influence us not to be. Is that right?
Right. Right. They help
keep us from being entangled in the electronic pollution of this civilization. It helps we can maintain more of an earth connection by running these fields, and they have a tendency to quantum entangle us to the earth, which gives us more access to the consciousness of earth as well. So it, and earth helps us by not only catch the download from the sun like the earth does, but the earth is the repository, so if we forget portions of it, we can always renew part of that download from the earth by getting out nature and stuff and resonating with it.
Resume download. Okay, cancel.
All right.
Oh, I am. That's I am. Oh, there you are. That's good. That's now we know where they are. Anyway, that's lovely. It's trying to recover a bit. Well, it's been very very intense recently, and I feel there's been like a small denouement in the energy of the world. You've been watching the energy of the world, haven't you, Jay?
Oh, very much so. It's grown.
How do you? Yeah, so do you want to share with everybody how you kind of measure it, how you gauge that?
Well, I gauge it. It's more like a shimmer nowadays, sparkly shimmering, and not so much blue. it's running more of a blue-white.
Is this using a form of remote viewing, but, you know, you're, like, placing yourself outside of the Earth?
Well, when I go inside myself, usually I pop out and I'm probably 300 or 400 miles above the Earth, and get to watch the shimmer, and I get to watch the collective and see my connections with each other, everyone, and they're lighting up. There's more running gold threads than red threads nowadays, so it's picking up. A lot of people aren't conscious that they're doing this, but, you know, they're like a fish in water, a lot of them. It's not totally aware. A lot of people are having simultaneous thoughts, or what you would call telepathy, but it's not to a point where you're hearing their voice or anything like that, but it just sort of acts more like a synchronization.
Yeah, more like I think I'll just go to such and such a cafe, and then you meet your friend there.
All right. You'll get a call from them, and all of a sudden up they're bringing a subject up that you were just talking about just moments before you had to call.
Anybody who listens to my Sunday experience here, that's what happens all Sunday when I do these shows. Like, I have conversation with one person, and or other people are having conversation on the stream, and it just blends one into the other. It's quite incredible.
It's like a dance.
Yes.
It's more like a square dance, so, you know, you're going from one partner to the next, and yeah, everyone's involved in the same dance. It's like you're all dance partners to everybody.
Yeah, they have that here as well. It hurts my feet, though. There's lots of bouncing up and down. Maybe once I've lost a bit more weight. Even bouncing up and down on the stage was a bit of a challenge. I think my feet have recovered now. But anyway. La-di-da-di-da. La-la-land. It's lovely. Anyway, I'm speaking with Jay Larson. This is Wolf Spirit Radio. We are a listener-supported station. Do please come to the station and click the donate button. Or, if you wish to do something useful with it, you can subscribe to our archive page. By doing so, you ensure that our archive space is paid for, because it's expensive, and you also get access to thousands of hours of amazing and true information. And it's not very much, and it's just an exchange to keep us going. It's not like we're charging you the earth. Anyway, I'm sure, you know, if you can't afford $5 a month, I'm sure there are ways around it. Anyway, so, having said that, he's just talking about synchronicities. Anyway, we're talking about synchronicities. We're always talking about synchronicities these days, because it's the new normal. It used to be weird, it's now the new normal. I know I keep going on about the new normal, because I have to get everybody used to the new normal, because we then have to introduce the new weird. So that's the next phase, is like, once you get the new normal, which is, you know, synchronicities happening all the time, what then becomes the next envelope? What is the envelope beyond? Huh? Hence the title. What is the envelope beyond where we're at, you know? We're seeing synchronicities now. What next are the symptoms of the next phase? Jay, do you have any idea about that?
You start remembering things.
Ah, cellular memory returns. You've been talking about this as well, haven't you?
Not just past lives, but also talents and abilities. You're going to be able to do things right out of the blue. Your things that you've done in past lives, things that you haven't done in third dimensional form, things that are more 5D form, the abilities that come up from not only from your cellular tissue, but also your DNA, where our DNA is reconnecting.
Watch out, ladies. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Talents. And it would be really cool if I could play the piano again. Apparently I played piano in a past life, but I can't remember how to do it. I can only actually there's only one tune I can play, which is that the piano tune at the big at the end of side one of Dark Side of the Moon, one where the woman goes that business, the Great Gig in the Sky. And that's the only thing I can play on the piano. Actually, that's probably not even... I can't even play that anymore. But anyway, it's been a long time.
Well, it's not only that. Those are
regular third-dimensional talents and abilities. I'm talking about you'll be able to take music to the next level because you'll intuitively know what note to use for... what kind of effect you want to have on the people that are listening.
Yeah, because I'll be able to just feel it and move the note up and down. In fact, the little tune that I was using to talk over, I don't know how loud it came through when I was doing the meditation.
Yeah.
I kind of made it up like that. I just thought, oh, how does that feel? Oh. Ah, yeah, that feels good. That feels good. And that, move that note up there. I just did it by feeling it. And you can do that with the reason. And, you know, just made a little 4-minute piece where these notes just kind of flowed through. That was nice. Isn't it? Yeah.
Not only that, you'd be able to create a note and follow it back all the way up to source and the, first creation.
You know, it's interesting because when you do that, when you play, there are certain ways of setting an electric guitar that causes it to do that. It causes it to start on the note that it is, and then it goes up an octave, and then it goes up an octave even further. That's one of my favorite things to make an electric guitar do. I usually do it in a song called Born to Be Wild. And it's my yes, it's my G string that does it, and that's the one that broke while I was playing it on in the set on Friday night. That was another one. Anyway, other things, but yeah, you can take the note and bring really really tweeze it, like With or Without You as well, as this thing where the note just rises up into the sky.
But there's all kinds of fantastic adventures that will be experiencing, meeting with other portions or facets of our multidimensional selves and also our extended stellar families. These are just right around the corner, really.
It's I just posted in the chat room, oh, maybe my cooking skills will come back. Please, Lord, please. Actually, she makes a brilliant sushi. She's very good with the old raw fish and rice thing. Yeah. Meanwhile, back at Scalars, and a question from Chatty Room, from Howler 3031. Now, Howler is actually it's a sort of default name, it'd be nicer if you have a name that is like more like we can identify with you if you come back, or you know. But anyway, notwithstanding, we'll speak about this. The question is, please tell us how to make HM scalar device. What does HM mean? Homemade scalar device. Yeah, it's really quite simple. Jay, do you want to outline how easy it is to make one of these things?
Yeah, it takes only a I produce about 10 to 14 of them in a little over an hour, and all I did was have a piece of ferrite and some magnetic copper wire that's used for magnets, and all I did was wrap a caduceus coil around them. A caduceus coil is much like the caduceus that you see, where the bottom portion is a piece of wire where you're folding the middle to start the loop, and you're braiding it much like the snakes going up the spinal column, or you know, where they show chakras and stuff, or as you use the medical caduceus, where you have the serpents going up the wand that has the wings, which is another identifier that the thing has the ability to cause objects and stuff to levitate at whatever frequencies necessary to levitate objects. But it, how I did it, with each wrap, I just had a hot glue gun and I'd glue it into place so it would keep its form. And it takes about, 15 to 20 seconds to do the winding. And then I let the glue, hold it and let the glue, cool down. And then I take a Dremel tool with a diamond cutoff blade and I cut the ferrite rod. So I have, I use long ferrite rods and just, basically, take what's left of the ferrite rod and use it to make another caduceus coil.
Okay, so it's a very simple design.
Right. Then all I do is take a standard earbud for a stereo unit, and I strip the wires off of one of the earbuds. And I solder the wires to the caduceus coil, then I glue it in a little plastic tube after I soldered them, to keep the wires from touching and everything else, and also to give it a little more, to keep the wires from breaking off and other things. And I use a little, what looks like PVC, I get it at a hobby store. And that's what I use to actually produce it. Now, I use a program to produce the sound file called Audacity. You can get it free from download on the internet. And then I can go in and make a stereo tone and use it as a tone generator and actually put the exact frequency I want to into the sound file, and I then create an MP3 of it, and I can either put the MP3 on an MP3 player or play it on my computer and just plug this device in and use it on myself, on my food, my water. I can use it on pictures to cause that energy to say a satellite picture of the Earth. I can spread it on the Earth that way, so everyone gets benefit. These are just some of the things you can do with it. You're only limited by your imagination.
So it's a kind of magic beam thing, isn't it? Right. I mean, you've got this thing, and you feed an MP3 into it, right? And you can make MP3s from all sorts of things, and what I'm considering is to find my source frequency which is apparent. It comes out in my voice. Mm-hmm. To find that frequency and then play it back to myself to see what that would do it. I haven't done that yet, but it's altogether possible using this thing. Because basically what you're doing is you're creating, this is subtle energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same subtle energy that Reiki is, and how you can do things at a distance, because this energy is not magnetically or electrically, whichever one it is, it's not tied to time and space. It transcends it. It's on another dimension. I believe this is hyperspatial. I believe this is fifth dimensional, higher mental plane energy.
Yes, and another thing you can do, if people know what they want, they can take that and they can use the scalar wave as no more than a carrier. Now, Earth's frequency would be good for that. And what you can do is you program the crystal for what you want to achieve, and you can just send the scalar wave right on that picture of that satellite picture of the Earth. What you want to do, you got programmed into the crystal, and you send that scalar wave through the crystal into the picture. And it will cause whatever you program that crystal to begin happening. So you could use it directly like a magical device.
Cool. I'm saying that it's a magical device, because what it does is you can point a picture at it, or you can point it at a picture of something, and by focusing it and your own intent, you can cause effect through just looking at a picture.
Right.
That's new normal. You know what I mean? That would, ordinarily in days gone by, in times when we were regular, that would have been weird to affect somebody just by looking at a picture of them. But now it's the new normal, isn't it?
Right. They can either accept it or reject it.
Yes. So I'm interested in the So when you were talking before about the ascension chamber, right? And you're talking about silicon and carbon, and I thought about this material silicone, right? And I've got jelly molds, I've got ice cream molds made of silicone. It's an incredible material, actually. It's very, very flexible, very, very soft. You can form it into anything you like. It's kind of grippy. At the same time, it can be very bouncy. And also, it can take temperature. It's quite an incredible material, this silicone. And I still don't even know what it is.
It's an organic silicon mixture. It's a chemical compound. It's an organic silicon compound.
Interesting. So, but anyway,
much much like rubber.
Yeah, it's very rubbery. Now, so then I started imagining, like, my bones being made of silicone, which would mean that they would be very dense in the middle, and so they would be quite rigid. But at the same time, they would have a certain strength and flexibility and elasticity. So, you know, I could fall off something and literally bounce. Is that the way? I mean, is that the way we're going? That we become less flexible and more kind of... less brittle, more flexible.
Yeah, you become more flexible, but there's all kinds of things different from it. First of all, the energy level that your body will be able to maintain will be most fantastic. You can it's like electrical wiring. You have certain types of wires that have a lot of resistance. If you have a wire, you could say it's like changing a body that has a lot of resistance to a body that has no resistance, or is more like a superconductor. So you'll be able to do things that you normally wouldn't be able to do if you didn't have this ability to superconduct the energy. In other words, you can run massive amounts of energy that would seem almost impossible. But that will become the new norm. In fact, you won't, some of the free energy devices you'll be able to build, that it won't run by collecting the energy. It'll run because you focused your thought upon the device, and it collects the energy actually from you.
Something that can run on thought energy. Now, that must mean that thought energy must be quite a lot, you know. How much energy is that? You know, is there energy in idle thought? How much energy has an idle thought?
Well, it's not so much the idle thought, it's the intention of the thought that has precedence. In other words, you can have an idle thought and it will cause no action at all, because that's all it is. It's just making your conscious mind active to that thought. It's not taking action on the thought.
So, I've heard about these things, that we will be able to run, we'll be able to make a crystal light just because we intend it.
Right. Or a spaceship or whatever.
Exactly. I still don't get that. I don't get it. Oh, better conduct yourself better. Yeah, very, very, very funny. Very, very funny.
That's our internal technology. And that's what Alex Collier talked about, what fascinated the Andromedans and stuff, was we're like the royal family, because here we are, some of these races need to actually use holographic methods for producing things, and we produce our whole universe here, so to speak, and when the field is shut off or we leave the room or exit, they exit, the thing starts deteriorating and disappears, where ours will stay up months or a very long length of time because of the amount of energy that actually flows through our body even when we're in the third dimension, but we don't even realize it.
It's interesting that this whole thing about how long it takes to make something and how much energy you put into making something, and how long things last. And how long are things meant to last?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, because I've had these thoughts for many, many years now, and about 15 years ago, I moved into a place that had a just an empty space, and I got a whole load of wood and a saw and a screwdriver and made all these boxes that had different sizes, just boxes. And they would all fit together and make, you could make a stage, you could make cupboards, you could make, they were all different sizes, but they all fitted together. They were based on a cubic foot. And, I didn't, you know, I just meant them to last a couple of years, but they've lasted, 14 years now. And, some of them are now a stage in a local school. And, some of them are just bits and bobs. This one here, I just made them temporary. They seem to have remained. And that's you know, it's absolutely true. We put a lot of energy, we put money into buying high quality pieces of wood that don't fall apart. You know, if I'd have made it out of plastic, it wouldn't have lasted.
But we make our reality, even while we're actually co-creating this, why we're here. So, and this is what surprises them. When they walk out of the room, the house dissolves. And, you know, and ours lasts for a tremendous amount of time.
I'd find it rather disconcerting if my room started disappearing when I walked out then. Really, and I suppose that's why the room doesn't do it, because otherwise I'd be disconcerted all the time.
Mm-hmm. And this is why it's been a sort of feels like a rough road to get through this ascension process, because we've been taught and trained that this is actually reality, and it isn't. It's what they've programmed us through the television and everything else, through schooling and everything else, to keep it their system solid, so to speak. But once you take your mind off their system and put it in other directions, their world starts to dissolve and they're freaking out from it.
That's right, because their world dissolves and our world remains. And especially if you've been doing things like manifestation practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've been saying, right, well, today I want to see three people dressed in green. You know, really stupid stuff. Really unlikely stuff. And see what happens. Mm-hmm. See how weird your world can get. Just, you know, just having fun. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about the kind of fun aspect of it. And I've realized that is what enlightenment's about. Being light about things. Not being heavy. Not being forceful. Being light. That's the true force. The light side of the force.
It's like you hear on the news that they're trying to start a war with Syria. And all you got to do is say, I don't want that in my reality. I would prefer to have this. And you think it's something that brings you joy, and all of a sudden, the reality starts to crumble even more. If you protest something, all it does is give their matrix, it energizes their matrix and keeps it from collapsing. So all you do is decide that you would prefer to have something else, and you focus on what you prefer. And it takes the focus off them, and their system collapses.
That's all there is to it. You just have to starve them of your attention. While we're talking here, I'm just having this conversation in the chat room with my girlfriend, because these aforementioned boxes that I made, she has her children at the school that they are now, and she's been she was painting the upper reaches of the walls by standing on these boxes, and I was saying, I was I was that I helped her ascend. Anyway, meanwhile, back in the ascension chamber, we're about 5 minutes away from the end of the show. Coming up next is Frank Jordan, and after that is Eva Moore. I haven't seen Eva today. She hasn't posted on a thing yet. So, who knows where Eva is? She could be anywhere today. We'll find out. Who knows what is going to come with Frank. It's a really, really spontaneous evening. Thank you very much for joining us, by the way, Jay, because what I'd like you to do is tell people about the forum thing. What do you call them on Facebook? Scalar Devices. Tell them about that.
Okay. On Facebook, just type in your search, Scalar Devices, and it'll take you to the group there, and everything that I'm doing, I'm putting up there, and the information is free, if you want to build your own. I will build, Scalar Devices for people, but I'm more into the research of it right now, and that's, you know, it's my hobby. But if you want them, I'll build them. But I don't want for it to be my life just building Scalar Devices. We're at a time that the expansion of creativity is going to grow, and to be limited to just one thing would be just a waste of time when we're running into a cornucopia of new things to play with.
Absolutely, but on the other hand, you could maybe make a video so that you could teach 50 more or 60 more or 1,000 more or 20,000 more how simply to make a Caduceus coil that you can plug into a regular MP3 player, just like any other thing that's got a little jack plug. You know, a mobile phone, smartphone, a computer, a laptop, an old radio, a cassette, a CD player. Anything that's got that little plug, you can make a scalar coil that it will cost you just a couple of dollars. It's made of wire. You will need to be able to solder and to glue and to do that, but you can make a little device that just makes happy. It's on the happy frequencies.
it actually released music that now MP3. It'll take the pain out of your body while you're playing, but you'll actually be working with your pain, so to speak, and be absorbing the fragmented portions of yourself and clearing them. But it's it has potential to be used in all kinds of things, and that's why I also recommend people, if they want to experiment with this stuff in the Sonic region, is to get that Audacity software. I know Unix has a version, there's a Microsoft version, and it's free to download and to play with. And you can create your, it's a music editor, so you can actually add things to it. The one thing you could do is, if you wanted to reprogram yourself, you could talk into it, a dialogue of some sort, much like when I was playing Katie's Activation from the other week, and radiating it out to the world, so to speak, through a scalar field. You can reprogram yourself by putting what you want to reprogram yourself on the MP3 in the format that's conductive, much like a guided meditation, and then play that scalar field into your body, and it will affect not only your subconscious, but all the cell, all the cells and the DNA itself.
Yeah, I've been playing around with this thing, and it does seem to generate a good feeling all around. I had one when I was playing the gig last night, or the night before last, in the pub, and I wouldn't say we were any better than we were last time, but anyway, we were good enough, and we put our all into it, and the landlord gave us an extra chunk of money, 1/5 more money, so that really seems to work. It generally puts people in a place of slightly more generosity, which is a state of more lovingness. It's like things spiral upwards. Instead of being vicious cycles, they spiral better. How can we make this better? How to, you know, be more, can we be more forgiving or anything like that? It really has a lovely effect. And I'm just using the MP3 file that you called One, which is that's the Earth frequency, isn't it?
Which one?
One. It's just called ONE, One.
No, I don't know what the ONE is.
One, that's the number one.
I labeled them Earth, Star, and now
not one. Sorry. Now, not one, it was now. What's that frequency in there?
Okay, that runs 7.48 hertz. Now I got the measurement by taking the
We're losing you, Jay. We're losing you. I wonder if we're losing the stream. There we go. It always happens. There we go. But we're just about to come to the end of this show. So I'd like to thank you all for listening. I'll try. Oh yes, there we go. And there goes the servers. And we'll try reconnecting in a second. There he goes. Yep, sorry about that. Yeah, I got dropped. Let me just fix up the stream and bring them back in and reconnect. There we go. Sorry about that. Back onto Wolf Spirit Radio and to No Borders Radio. Welcome. I'm speaking with Jay Larson, and we're just about to wrap up the show. So, Jay, the last thing you'd like to say?
Okay. We project our reality outwards. Everything outside ourselves is nothing more than a mirror. So, after finding the circumference of the Earth, I divided it by the speed of light and got the figure. From the point of where I am, one cycle, and that distance equals 7.48. So then I did was divide it and put the undertones and the overtones to affect all the brainwave functions from a delta sleep to a gamma hyper awake state. And added it all together and made an MP3, and that's what you're playing. You're playing all those overtones and undertones of the Earth as well, so that they affect your brainwave, all your brainwave functions in all those states to make things more accessible.
Excellent. So, Jay Larson, come to the Facebook group, which is called Scalar Devices. And join Jay and myself there. We're doing interesting experiments. We're making people joy. My teacher calls these is our leviton generators, is they create particles of joy like there are particles of gravity. Gravity is the opposite of levity. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it's time to end this week's Ever Beyond. Thank you for coming beyond with me. JP, good night.